to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 26th, 2020, by the Reverend Eric Williams, the annual address for the annual meeting of the parish.
Every year on the last Sunday of January, by canon law, St. Philip's is required to hold our annual parish meeting. Unlike other denominations, however, Episcopalians do not run our affairs by annual or regular congregational meetings. Instead, we operate as a representative democracy, with the vestry taking the role of leaders. It is the vestry, for example, that adopts the budget, calls a rector, sets policy, and in partnership with the rector, oversees all of the spiritual and temporal matters of the congregation. The annual meeting is your chance as members to participate in the leadership of the parish by electing your vestry and your delegates to the annual diocesan convention. It is also an opportunity for all of us to take stock of the year that has passed and to look forward to future plans, opportunities, and challenges. You will hear a lot more about all these things at the meeting that follows immediately after this service. Right now, during my address, I want to give an overview from my personal and biased perspective of the highlights from this past year. And my thought, you know, it's a privilege to be the priest. I get to stand up here and hold your attention, hopefully. But I want to give you my thoughts about where I think God is leading us and what have been our highlights. It is fitting that our gospel today tells the story of the calling of the first disciples. It is so easy to get so busy working on our own plans and our own agendas that we forget to ask, even in the church, we forget to ask what God has in mind. I think it is really important that we always remember to ground everything that we do in God's living presence and God's ongoing call. As I think about this very eventful year, I am struck by the many ways that we are answering the call to follow Jesus. First, I believe we are bucking the trend. As I thought about our statistics, you know, I spent a lot of time this week with spreadsheets, which is not my favorite thing to do. When I was interviewing to be your priest in charge a little over 3 years ago, I remember talking with the search committee about the reality in which we find ourselves. Churches today, all churches, and especially the so-called mainline churches, Roman Catholic, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, etc., are not growing, but we are all declining at roughly the same rate. We at St. Philip's should be really grateful that over the past 3 years, we have bucked that trend. After many years of decline, our average Sunday attendance over the last 3 years has grown 16%. We can see that growth in the faces of new and returning parishioners, and we can feel the effects of that growth in new energy and new vitality. Second, we are entering a new era. During this past year, we spent time in the holy conversations, the process of discerning whether or not you wanted to call me as your rector. The last time St. Philip's had a rector was over 6 years ago when Jeff Boyer retired. We are now marking a new phase in our life together, and we will be celebrating that new life with a renewal of ministry service here on Wednesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Put that in your calendars. This will be Bishop Perry's first visit to St. Philip's and her first ever installation service. So we want to make a good impression and start her off right. During the service, each ministry of St. Philip's will be invited to bring up a symbol of their ministry to the altar to be blessed. So think about that. If you're in the choir or the youth group or the Sunday school or the altar guild or the ECW, be thinking about what is the symbol that you would like to present. You don't have to go out and buy something. It could be something you have. could be a hymnal, it could be whatever, but we're going to bring it up and the bishop is going to bless that as a sign of God's life and energy here in our midst. We will be inviting visiting clergy, and there will be a festive reception afterwards. This is a chance to celebrate not only the milestone of having a rector, but also, more importantly, what God is doing in our congregation and through us in the community and beyond. Part of that discernment this past year through the Holy Conversations, we also had a parallel track of discerning our outreach at St. Philip's. I'm so grateful to Dean Tierney for his efforts over the past year to help us clarify what our outreach has been and where we feel called in the future. Please read his excellent report, which is in the packet of reports that you can find, some paper copies this morning at the meeting, but also you can get online on our website or through a link from our epistle, our email newsletter each week. Please read the report, think about it. I'm excited that our first trial balloon, the Saturday food pantry at Rochester Area Neighborhood House, got an immediate and positive response. I'm also grateful to David Shirley for helping us identify the emotional and psychological needs of teenagers and young adults in our wider community. We also welcomed recently a group from our neighboring parish, St. Paul's in Romeo, who would love some of our folks to join in their mission trip to Appalachia this summer. Dean has sign-up sheets if you're interested in that. One area of concern in our outreach is SOS, the South Oakland Shelter. We are urgently seeking two key leaders for that ministry. After many years, Sue Hallback is stepping down from being kitchen manager, and Larry Shimatera would also like to step down as overall coordinator. They will be glad to work with their replacements to train, help, and support them. But if we can't find new leaders, we may be forced to let go of this important ministry. The Holy Conversations process also helped us clarify God's call. We're just beginning to look forward and outward. I think over the last 5 or so years, we were really looking inward, trying to figure out who we were as a congregation, putting the profile together, thinking about how we might heal from some of the conflicts of the past and really begin to deal with things like the front porch. And now in our 5-year plan, we're beginning to look forward and outward again. And that's an exciting process, but it's just beginning. You can read the distillation of your thoughts from those Holy Conversations as filtered through the vestry's planning in our 5-year plan that the vestry is sharing at the annual meeting. We see this as a first step that needs continued development. Please take time to listen to the plan later today and then read it on your own. We don't have time, I think, today to really delve into it and have conversations about it. So we're inviting you to come back for a special forum in 2 weeks on February 9th to give your input as we continue to develop and begin to implement our 5-year plan. One exciting new development this year has been the arrival of several people with extraordinary gifts in prayer and spirituality. I don't believe this is a coincidence. But instead, I believe it's a clear message from God that we need to be rooted and grounded in prayer and in the living presence of God. We're in the process of figuring out how we might receive these gifts and work together to offer opportunities to our members and the wider community to grow spiritually. The people that I'm thinking of are Paul Bosomowski and Judy Marchioni. I don't know if you want to stand up or not. The Reverend Ann Weber, who's away today, but who will be working with our healing team. Father John Muhlendijk. John, are you here today? Yes, there he is. And Gregory Norbit and Catherine Carrington, among others. Catherine and Gregory have already led a beautiful worship experience in Advent, and another just this past week for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. I'm excited to see where God will lead us as we follow the call to follow Jesus in prayer and spirituality. This new era that we're beginning will require new leadership. I already mentioned SOS needing new leadership. The vestry is determined also that we need a fellowship committee. we recognize the need for events like the church picnic, the pancake supper, the Friendsgiving dinner in November, and many others like the installation celebration next month. We have relied for so long on the ECW for all of the heavy lifting for these events, as well as for receptions for funerals, a wonderful ministry of hospitality to families. But the core group of the ECW is much smaller than it once was, and can I say, chronologically enhancing? Is that fair? It's time, we believe, for a new committee to help us envision and lead great fellowship events, which enhance our sense of community and can also be a method of evangelism. The Sunday School, I'm so grateful to our dedicated core of teachers who faithfully offer education and formation for our kids every Sunday. Pat Wagner, Walter and Ann McManus, and Claire Shirley. And are there others? I may have lost touch. Is that the group now? That's the group of four. But we are in urgent need of more teachers to help lead these lessons. And our policy for making St. Philip's a safe church requires each Sunday a second adult unrelated to the teacher who can be a source of protection for our young people. We need that as well, and we need an overall coordinator who can manage the schedule and signups and make sure we are covered every Sunday. We are, another theme that came to me this year is that while we are bucking the trend, while we are growing in our membership, in our attendance, and in our giving, we're still digging out of a hole. Larry Shimatero, our treasurer, will talk later about our budget. Our pledging has been growing wonderfully along with our attendance over the past 3 years. I give great credit to the members of the stewardship committee for their faithful work in this area. But as many of you know, we were dealt a serious loss when our most generous giver died in 2017. His one pledge made up over 25% of our budget. The really amazing news is that we have almost completely recovered from the loss of that one pledge. But the bad news is that we are still operating with a budget deficit. We've had deficits for the last 3 years. They end up the end of the year smaller than when we began because of your generosity, but we would really like to get to a place where we had balanced budgets and even an abundance of resources. So that is one place. The other is the area of buildings and grounds. We have been extraordinarily blessed by the leadership of Jim Lauder and Alan Youngman. Where are they? Are they here? Alan's in the choir. Where's Jim? Probably in the parlor. Alan and Jim served on the vestry, and when they rotated off the vestry in 2008, they stayed on as property chairman. And for 12 years, 12 long years, they have worked tirelessly to oversee and care for our buildings and property. As part of their work, they have identified the projects that must be accomplished over the next 5 or so years. You can see the list in the annual report and the slideshow during the meeting. In total, we are facing around $250,000 in overall deferred maintenance, some of which is more urgent than others. The vestry is in the process of creating a wish list for those items, and we want your feedback about how realistic it would be to think about another capital campaign. We just got over one. We don't want to dive into another one too soon, but we need to address these issues. We also need to face the issue that Jim and Alan, after these 12 years, have decided that it's time to retire. And with our thanks, they will do that. They're going to spend this year helping to transition whoever the new leadership is for our property and grounds into that role. So be praying about all these urgent needs for leadership. When I think about the past year, there are too many highlights to cover, and I'm sure I will leave many out. But I wanted to mention just a few. For me, one of the great highlights of my entire time here was the confirmation service in June, during which 20 people were confirmed or received by Bishop Gibbs. It was a wonderful expression of the growth and energy of our congregation. And I was also grateful that after years of on and off tension with the bishop and the diocese, we were able to have this very positive visit with him and a chance to say goodbye. I found that a hopeful sign of our continued process of healing from the hurts of the past. Another highlight for me was the creation this year of a youth choir and their debut at the Christmas pageant. I remember talking with Katie Pratt earlier in the year and the two of us thinking, how can we do a youth choir when we only have a few kids every Sunday? And how many did we end up with? About 20 kids sang at the Christmas pageant. And I'm grateful to the youth group for helping to be the mentors for that group and helping to oversee it. But it was just a wonderful thing. And speaking of the youth group, an ongoing highlight for me have been the Christmas pageants and Youth Sundays, during which we've been able to feature the gifts, the remarkable gifts and talents of our amazing young people. That has been a shining light for me as well. I want to say thanks this morning also to Stephanie Ubeidi. She not only coordinates our Red Cross blood drives, one of our most important outreach efforts, but despite starting a new job this year, she also took on coordinating our photo directory. This is another important tool in helping us grow and stay connected to one another. So thank you. As we look ahead to the coming year and beyond, I see wonderful opportunities for us to deepen our relationship with God and our commitment and service to our community. We have challenges, of course, as we continue to work to be financially stable and sustainable. But even more, we are blessed with abundant life and resources to enable us to answer God's call to follow Jesus. And I want to say personally how grateful I am to the search committee, the vestry, and to all of you for calling me as your rector. Amen.